Good morning, and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Harry Koops brings a message titled, Death's Defeat, from scriptures found in John chapter 11, verse 32 to 36, Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 24, and 54 to 57. This is Kevin Van Heukelom inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. What a pleasure to be together on this most holy day in the whole church calendar. The holiest day in the year. Resurrection Sunday. And we're here to worship and praise the one who is the resurrected one. To thank him, our risen Savior. To him belong the victory. He is the one who gives us our hope. He is the one who gives us our joy and the promise of eternal life. Easter Sunday, his resurrection changed all of history. That's why we're here, to lift up his name and to honor him. And he alone is worthy of our praise. If you're visiting with us today, we're just really glad you're here. We hope you're blessed through this service, that it touches your heart, that God meets you right where you're at. I see lots of folks that are here with family members, and I think it's just great to be together on a day like this with family, first to worship together, and then usually there's other activities throughout the rest of the day to spend time together, but lots of joy and lots of things to have gratitude for. And it all really is foundational in the one that we have come to worship. We invite you all to stay for coffee and fellowship after the service. It's right through those doors. Just invite you to stay and give us an opportunity to greet one another, to shake hands, to give you a welcome, to celebrate our risen Savior, and to have a joyful time together. This is a celebration. You've heard it said before, God's kingdom is really a party, and this is a big part of the party. And then we want to greet all of those who join us through other means. Jethro Radio, others on the internet, that's jethro.fm, on YouTube, live streaming, and then some folks get the CDs yet later. But whatever means, we greet you. We hope you're blessed through whichever way we connect, that God just touches you as only he can do that. And if you join us through some electronic means, but you don't have a church home, consider this your personal invitation. Come and be part of our church family here at 8th Reformed. And even if you're visiting here with us this morning, don't normally go to church, have a church home, we would certainly welcome you to become part of our church family here at 8th. And for all those who join us electronically, we meet live time, 9:30 Sunday mornings. We're right by Clyde Park in Burton. We're not hard to find. And again, invite you to be here with us. Here to call to worship on this Easter Sunday morning. Glory to you, O God. On Easter Sunday, you won the victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life. Glory to you, O Christ, for to us is our salvation through you, because you overcame death and you opened the gate to everlasting life. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit, you lead us into the truth. Glory to you, O Blessed Trinity, both now and forevermore. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand and greet one another with, He is risen. He is risen indeed. And then right after that, we will go into singing number 357, Christ Arose. Thank you. He is risen indeed. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes. Amen. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. He is risen indeed. He's risen indeed. He's risen indeed. Yeah.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Christ arose. What an amazing event. You conquered death and sin and hell, and then you set us free because you've adopted us into your family when we believe in you. And you alone are worthy of our praise, and so it's so good to blend our voices together and let it rise like a sweet aroma into your heavenly throne room. And Father, may you be blessed through this service this morning. May it also bring joy in heaven's portals. And then through your Spirit, will you touch each person as only you can do that. And so we want to surrender and dedicate this whole service to your awesome resurrection that gives us hope, both now and forevermore. And we offer this prayer all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. amen to that. He's living today. He lives every day. Thank you, Paul. I want to thank the choir. And when the music is so good, you're probably thinking, oh, I hope they don't go to a sermon. But there is one coming. And thank you, Sharon, for playing the piano for us today and being willing to do that. And it's always good to have you on the trumpet, David. So just all adds to the joy of worshiping and to have a song in our hearts because of the one that we have come to worship. And we're also reminded often in many ways that we live in a broken world. That's why we're so glad Jesus came. And so as we come before our God with our congregational prayer, just want to give you a little update on our church family. First of all, we want to pray for Betty Holmes. She's back at Trinity Hospital. It's pretty serious condition, really. She's dealing with heart, lung, kidney, and stomach problems. And so there's just a lot going on. And what's amazing is when you talk to Betty, her spirit is still upbeat, and she trusts that God will give her strength to get through this. And if not, that's okay too. And so she has a wonderful testimony in something that's really hard. And then we did a prayer chain for a friend of ours, Steve Luce. He's at the University Hospital in Ann Arbor getting intensive treatments for blood cancer. And he'll be hospitalized for 2 weeks while they do the treatments right at the hospital. And they're keeping him there because of the intensity of the treatment. So we want to remember Steve and Dot. And then Dan Like, we've been praying for him. He continues to deal with dizziness. And that's been really debilitating for him. And so just pray for Dan and Sue. And then I just talked to Paul and Brent Kirkstra. Just really had a tough night again with withdrawal and just feels really, really miserable. Really, he's quite sick. So remember Brent in prayer. Remember Paul, too, as they walk a hard road. And then last week we prayed for Josh Sullivan, a missionary in South Africa who was kidnapped while he was preaching. That was about 2 weeks ago. Last week the police were involved in a gun battle with the kidnappers. Three kidnappers were killed and Josh was rescued unharmed. And so we give God thanks for protecting Josh, even as we know that through evil deeds, others were cast also into sadness. But we praise the Lord for saving Josh's life. And I just want to mention that during this Holy Week, and especially on Easter Sunday, there's often a real rise in persecution of Christians around the world in countries that are really hostile to Christianity. And some of the things they deal with, and I just read this in the Voice of the Martyrs, Christians in hostile lands are often taunted with, if he, that Jesus, came back to life, he should be able to save your life. Let's see what he can do as they kill them. And so talk about having your faith tested. So we want to remember these folks. And a couple of real hot spots right now are Nigeria and the Sudan. And I just want a reminder, the funeral for Sue Takuma's mom, Carol Cucci's, is this coming Saturday, April the 26th at 11 a.m. It's at MKD in Jamestown. And family visitation will be at a 10 o'clock service at 11. Let's come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer. Victorious Savior, come to us in your risen power. Make us glad in your presence. Breathe your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may be strong to serve you and spread the good news for the glory of your great name. That name that is above every name. That name at which someday every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God of glory, fill your church with the power that flows from Christ's resurrection, so that in the midst of a sinful world, it may signal the beginning of a renewed humanity, risen to new life in Christ. The one who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. We really can't comprehend what this last week was like for you, Lord Jesus, the week we call Holy Week. We know it was dark, darker than we can imagine, when you bore the sin of the whole world. Yes, that included our sin, on your bruised, beaten, bloody body. But oh, the joy that is ours today when we celebrate the empty grave and in that realize that death no longer holds us captive either. Oh, the freedom that is ours when we are willing to confess those things that build walls between you and us and each other. Give us repentant, remorseful hearts that show gratitude for what you did on the cross in extending to us the gift of forgiveness and eternal life in your presence. Let us hunger for that new life in Christ that breaks us free from the things in this world that hold us captive. Let us experience liberty in you, O Jesus, the resurrected conqueror. In your love, we are also called to love one another and to care for one another. And so as we do that, and as there's much joy this morning as we celebrate who you are and what you've done and blending our voices together, we also want to pray for those for whom this isn't a reality. For many, this is just another day, part of a weekend. And they haven't experienced what it means to belong to you or the freedom, the joy that you can give. And so, Father, our prayer is that your Spirit would also touch and melt the hearts of those who at this point are hard to you. That you would soften their hearts in such a way that they could not resist responding to your invitation to be one of your children. We also pray for those who have special needs, physically, emotionally, or just the time of life, the stage of life. And this morning, we remember all the names that are listed in the bulletin. And then in particular, we remember Betty Holmes, Ruth Takama, she has her surgical procedure this coming Wednesday, Dan Legg dealing with his dizziness, Joanne Amos, as this is a new phase in her life, as she, in essence, is preparing to meet you, looking forward to that, realizing that the season of life is coming to an end. Then we pray for Renee, who has such hard news about that the cancer has spread. We pray for Brent Kirkstra as he just deals with the physical pain of the withdrawal. We pray for Steve Luce as he undergoes treatment. And then there are all the other things scheduled for this week already. Folks have got appointments scheduled, procedures, treatments, consultations, just a host of things. But we're so thankful that you're a God who's an immanent God who walks with us from day to day and moment to moment and has promised, I'll never forsake you, I'll never abandon you. And that also holds true in what we might call the everyday routines, that you go with us, that we are not alone, that you hold on to us. You're the one who hears and answers prayer, and we're so grateful when you answer the way we request. But you've also promised that when the answer is different than we want, you will give us strength to walk that road. We also thank you for prayers that have been answered. We've had many, many prayers answered, and today we thank you with our Villa de Vries you have blessed her, and she's regained a lot of strength and just her independence. We pray for our shut-ins, Aria Bosman and Ruth Horges. We ask, Father, that they too would experience just a real Lord's Day blessing, but the celebration of Easter Sunday this day. We thank you for relationships, and on days like this, we're real mindful of our relationships within our church family, within our immediate family, of just different people we rub shoulders with. And sometimes those times are extreme blessings, just so good to be together, and we enjoy each other's company. It's so, so wonderful. And other times it can get kind of testy. And sometimes it's hard when there's people around the table that don't celebrate the risen Savior. And so, Father, teach us how to do these things well. To be salt and light where you have placed us and yet have conversation filled with grace. And so we also want to surrender that to you and ask you to equip us to do these things well. We pray for those who are grieving. We remember the Cucci family as they prepare for Carol's funeral this Saturday. And then we think of all those who have stood by the side, by the graveside of loved ones and felt the emptiness and the pain of saying goodbye. May the victory of your resurrection always be our hope for the journey and give strength and consolation to deal with grief, knowing that you can strengthen us
and comfort us because of your victory. And because you have walked this very road, you also understand the emotions that we deal with. And again, we praise you because you defeated the last enemy, death. Father, would you deal graciously with this world, with our nation? We would pray for divine wisdom for our leaders at every level of government, so that in the decisions and choices they make, it might also be honoring to you. We pray for our servicemen and women. May they also be strengthened by your victory as they graciously serve our nation, many of them away from home. On weekends like this, this is hard to be distant from one another. And we also know, Heavenly Father, that ultimately their security is in you. And so I pray, Father, for their protection, for those who are serving and for those who are waiting at home. Heavenly Father, we also pray for the outreach of your church. We remember the Maasai outreach mission in Africa. We thank you for protecting the life of missionary Josh Sullivan in South Africa. We remember Christians around the globe as they gather to worship, and this Resurrection Sunday often spikes a lot of evil and violence. We pray for protection for those who are in harm's way, and we especially ask that you help them to stay faithful when the situation is so grave and the danger is so real. And we say a special prayer for those in Nigeria as well as in the Sudan. As your people here at 8th Reformed and those who join us via other means and all who profess you as the risen Savior, keep us faithful to the one we belong to. And as we open the Word, Holy Spirit, would you illumine and inspire us in fresh ways as we celebrate Jesus' great victory over death. We ask this in the name of our risen Savior, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by singing number 367, standing to sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
seated. Today, of course, is extra special, but the reason we are here every Sunday is for the very same reason we're here today, as we serve the risen Savior, the one who conquered death. Dear congregation, death is our last enemy, a cruel enemy, an inescapable enemy, a dreaded enemy. Death ruins everything. Forever changes families, life's plans permanently altered by death. It steals our security. It steals our joy. It fills our hearts with sadness and sorrow and loneliness. And we know all these things too well. We know them from our own lives and our own experiences, but also from what we see on the newscasts. The newscasts tell us all about tragic deaths, accidental deaths, war casualties, unexpected deaths, violent deaths, senseless deaths, suicide, murder, and natural deaths. And then we also experience death in the animal world. And pets dying can also be a real loss to some people. Death. It has a finality to it, a chill, a coldness. Death is the darkness in our world. True, we have come to a place of acceptance because we can't deny it, we can't avoid it, and we can't escape it. So we deal with it the best that we can. And so, since we can't avoid it or escape it, we try to do the next best thing. We try to live a long, happy life. We talk about that, right? I hope to live a nice old age. The old saying was, hope I get to die at home with my boots on. Today, our hope is that we don't end up in a nursing home and that we just die peacefully. And then when somebody dies, even if they're quite elderly, we say, oh, they had a full life. And they got to see their children's children, and they've been really blessed. And so we make each other feel good with that. But when death comes knocking at the door, do we like it? And the answer, of course, is no. And even when we say it is natural, it really isn't. Here's a true statement. Death is never natural. Death is never natural. That is why death is always painful. Oh, I know that sometimes we pray that the Lord will come and take someone home because the suffering has been so bad. But it's never natural. And that is because death came into the world with sin. And in the beginning, when God created, every time He created something, He either said, it is good, or it is very good. And He did not create death. But because sin came into the world, not one of us is immune. Not one of us can escape it. Death is sin's crowning glory. It's its best shot. It's the highest ideal it could achieve. Death, sin's crowning glory. Sin always has a sting in lots of levels, but the worst one is with death. Now, just to go back to Genesis for a moment, remember God's warning to Adam and Eve? Don't eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you will surely die. They probably didn't even know what death was, but they were warned, don't eat from it, you will surely die. And then here comes Satan. And Satan says to Eve, did God really say? Oh, you probably misunderstood. That's not really what it's all about. You won't die. You'll be like God. The great deceiver, starting with the big lie. She bought the lie, and we have dealt with death ever since.
But I want you to remember that in the beginning, we were not created to die. And that's why it always is so painful. Yes, we let people go, but mainly because we have no other options. When we're dealing with medical issues, what do we ask the doctor? Is there anything else you can do? Any other treatments? What if I go to, you know, Mayo, Cleveland, whatever? Because the will to live is really strong. And so we hate death, but we're in good company. And so for the first reading this morning, turn with me to John chapter 11. It's a familiar story. It's page 1530 in your pew Bible, if you want to follow along. John chapter 11, and we'll start reading at verse 32. And this is the story of where Lazarus died. Lazarus with the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Verse 32, chapter 11, hear the word of God. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. I know there's a lot more to the story, and you know that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But what I want to focus on actually is verse 33 of that little passage that we read, where Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. I don't know what picture you have of Jesus when he came to Mary and Martha and learned about that Lazarus had died. Maybe pictured a gentle Jesus saying, oh, I'm really sorry. I wish this wouldn't have happened. Or, I feel really bad for your loss. And I want to extend my condolence. And that misses the point of this whole passage, of the whole text. In the original language, and in a way they've kind of softened it, in the original language where we read about where he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, it said, he bellowed. He bellowed with anger. That's a completely different picture, isn't it? He bellowed with anger. And I'm going to quote something from another pastor, Tim Keller, and he got it from Warfield. But anyways, what John tells us in point of fact is that Jesus approaches the grave of Lazarus not in a state of uncontrollable grief, but in a state of irrepressible anger. Irrepressible anger. Why would Lazarus' death and his family's grief enrage Jesus? Why is he furious? Well, now I'm going to quote John Calvin. The spectacle of the distress of Mary and Martha and her companions enraged Jesus because it brought home expressly to his conscience the evil of death. And here you have it, its unnaturalness. Its unnaturalness and its tyranny. In Mary's grief, he contemplates the general misery of the whole human race and burns with rage against the oppressor of mankind. He bellows with anger. Death is the object of his wrath, and behind death, him who has the power of death, Satan, the great deceiver, the one whom he came to destroy. Yes, tears of sympathy may fill his eyes, but this is incidental. His soul is held by rage, and he advances to the tomb as a champion who prepares for conflict. And what the Apostle John does for us in this statement is to uncover the heart of Jesus as he wins for us our salvation and eternal life by defeating death. Not in cold unconcern, but in flaming wrath against the foe, Jesus smites out on our behalf. End of quote. You hate death? You're in good company. So does Jesus. Defies everything in him. Jesus is furious at evil, at suffering, at death. Evil is the enemy of God's good creation and of God himself. Jesus came to earth to take on evil and end it. But he could have ended it in different ways. And he could have just spoke and wiped out all the evil in this world. But you know what the danger in that would have been? We all have so much evil in us that we too would have been wiped out. And so in his grace, he didn't do that, but he died on the cross to pay the price for the wrath of God against sin in our place. He died on the cross. There's an interesting thing about Jesus dying on the cross, and that is that, yes, there were lots of people involved, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish people, the Pilate. He did it voluntarily. And you know why I can say that? There is nothing any of them could have done to kill Jesus. It would have been impossible because death comes from sin and he was sinless. There was absolutely nothing they could have done to kill him. And that becomes real clear in Jesus' dialogue with Pilate. When Pilate says, oh, you're not going to answer me? Hey, I have power to either crucify you or let you go. And Jesus says to him, you don't have any power over me if you wouldn't have gotten it from on high. This is all voluntary. That's how much he loved us. And so voluntarily he paid for our sin, destroyed evil, and by that we were spared. We weren't destroyed so that he could adopt us into the family and give us the promise of eternal life. So we read about Lazarus just as a prelude. Lazarus' resurrection, I put in quotation marks, he didn't have a glorified body. He was, in a sense, he was just resuscitated. But it was a prelude to Jesus' own resurrection. And in his own resurrection, he destroyed the power of death. Totally. Totally. Not partially, not a little bit. Totally. Our final enemy. Jesus is the victorious one. And so now we turn to a familiar reading out of Luke. Luke, and we'll look at chapter 24. And we'll start reading at the first verse. Luke 24, page 1506 in the Pew Bible. The familiar story for Easter Sunday. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. This is big. This is really big. I was thinking when I was working on this, I thought, okay, we have lots of big events in this world, right? We have like the Super Bowl. We have the other champion, the horse race in May. We have the Daytona. We have all these big events. If you put them all together as one event, it would just pale to what we are celebrating today. There's absolutely nothing that compares to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How big is this? At the tomb, the women heard words that are never spoken in a cemetery about a dead body. He is not here. He is risen. That had never been heard before. It's the fulcrum that all of history turns on. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. See, there's lots of leaders of different religions, but there's not one leader that died and rose from the grave. Every other religion, they can point to a leader and say, he's buried there. People visit the tombs. Only one. And he did it for us, not that we could work our way to him, but so that he could reach down and rescue us. The amazing words, he is not here, he is risen. He's victorious. He did what he came to do. It's the battle of the ages. We often talk about spiritual conflict, the battle of the ages, good versus evil, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the devil. And we just sang about that. Death could not hold his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. See, there isn't anything that we could do to conquer death. Oh, I know there's lots of stuff going on in the scientific community. They're never going to conquer death, believe me. They are never going to conquer death. Only Jesus. Through him, death was defeated. And we need to think about, in this conflict, the kingdom's in conflict, all Satan really has to offer is destruction and death. He has nothing else to offer. But Jesus is the victorious one. And we are the benefactors. See, we always need to remember that. He did all of this for us. That's why our hearts are filled with gratitude, with praise, with worship, with adoration. That's why we call him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He didn't do this for himself. It was for us. For you and for me. And in Jesus is our victory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I use this illustration a lot because I really like it. You know, if you were standing on the sidewalk by Burton Street and the sun's out, a big truck goes by, would you rather get hit by the truck or the shadow? Well, isn't that too hard to figure out? Well, when then you read Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because of what Jesus did, only the shadow of death can touch us. Death itself not. He already tells us in John that when we belong to him, as soon as we are one of his, eternal life actually starts for us. Not in its fullness, because we live in the already, not yet, kingdom of God. There's an overlap. But eternal life starts as soon as we belong to him. His victory has far-reaching effects on our lives today. And so we have another reading. We're going to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're just going to read a couple of verses, 20 to 22. That's page 1640, if you're following along. And this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking about the resurrection of Christ. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So in Christ all will be made alive. All who believe in him. See, when you read this, all the misery in this world, only the biblical story has an explanation for the misery in this world. And the irony is, Satan does good PR work, the great deceiver. The irony is, this world, when things go bad, who do they blame? They blame God. God, how could you let this happen? God, why didn't you do something here? God, you're so great, why didn't you intervene? God, you should have. God, about this? How come we don't say, Satan, you rotten scoundrel, you great deceiver, you destructive one, you've ruined everything that was created that God said it was good. But we blame God. Yes, the kingdom's in conflict, and we got to remember where this comes from, the evil part, and to know that that is from Satan. Jesus comes to rescue us, and you know what? That is our only hope. There is no other plan. There is no plan B. There's no other option. Our only hope is that Jesus is the one who rescues us. That's why this is called the ultimate story of grace, God's riches in Christ's expense. God comes to us in our misery and shows us his power and control. And that is why Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he healed the blind, he healed the lepers, the lame, he forgave sins, and he said to Lazarus, come out. It's all examples of what the world was like before the lie of Satan was bought, before sin came into the world. And a small foretaste of what life will be like in the new heaven and the new earth. In the new heaven, the new earth will never deal with any of the effects of sin, ever. There'll be no sting of death. There'll be no misery, no parting, never saying goodbye. There'll be no need for doctors. There'll be no walkers, hearing aids, glasses, none of that stuff. Everything will be perfect. And so in his earthly ministry, Jesus already gave a little foretaste. Can you imagine how hard it was for him, the creator who created all of it and said, this is good, to walk this earth and look around him and see misery everywhere? And then I think about the restraint. He could have spoke one word and everything would have been perfect. I can't imagine what that was like for him. But to know that he had to go to the cross to remedy this horrible situation for us. Yes, today we live in the already not yet kingdom of God. There's lots of good things in this world, and there's lots of things we enjoy, and there's lots of blessings we have. It's because of grace. God's grace poured out on us. Because of that, we can confidently, with Paul, the writer of 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read verses 54 to 57, page 1640. Just a couple of verses, 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. Hear the word of God. When the perishable, that's us, we are the perishable. They're not just in the produce section. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, in other words, eternal life, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection is actually a foretaste of our resurrection. That's what makes this all so exciting. One, what Jesus was able to do. And two, that it's all for our benefit. When we belong to Jesus, we celebrate and benefit from his resurrection. That is why it is so important to belong to him. All these promises are extended to those who profess Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. If that's not true in your life, then you belong to the kingdom of darkness, and these promises don't hold for you. So I also invite you on this day, on this celebratory day, Resurrection Sunday, to make sure that you are worshiping the one who is the resurrected one, and that he too is your Savior and your Lord. That is why Christians sing through tears at the funeral, and they stand at the graveside reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Which doesn't make any sense if you're just looking at it as the body is being lowered into the ground. But we know it's true because of the one who conquered death. Yes, death has been swallowed up in victory. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, we come to you. In some ways, it's hard to control the enthusiasm on a day like this of what you did for us. What a horrendous price you paid beyond anything we can comprehend so that we could be part of the family of God. And all we can do is worship you and praise you and thank you and sing your praises and lift up your name. It's an amazing love story. And that's why we're here, to give you all the glory. And we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing to his victory, number 368. He lives. Standing to sing, he lives.
Thank you.
Amen to that. You may be seated. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Pray together. Father, we give you all the praise. All our blessings flow out of your heavenly hand. And not just for now, but for all of eternity, and all because of what Jesus did. And so we thank you again for that tremendous gift, your only begotten Son who came to live amongst us, die, and then rose victoriously so that we have hope. Thank you for letting us be stewards of things you've given us. Keep us faithful as good stewards. And then, Father, we pray your blessing on this offering that was received, on those who gave, those who wanted to give, and those who will receive. Through it all, may we always see your hand and give you the glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing 358, verses 1 and 3, but I have one announcement. And that is, you see the lovely decorations in the sanctuary. And we thank the people that are on the property committee and the janitor and the decoration committee for all that they have done. And they want to share them with you. So the lilies and the tulips are for you to pick up. And so one per family, and there probably isn't enough for everyone. So be gracious to one another. I was asked to make that announcement that you're welcome to come. And just the ones in the sanctuary, understand there's some other ones throughout the church. It doesn't include them, just the ones that you see around here. So one per family, and please take them and enjoy them. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His countenance towards you and grant you His peace, both now and for all of eternity, because of the resurrected one. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. DOT.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.